Our speaker this evening is Brother Adam Sistruck, and his title is Putting Our House in Order. Brother Adam?
Good evening, everyone. Now, this is kind of a funny story. Brother Ernie told me that somebody in my ecclesia told him that I give this talk before, and that it was a very good talk. And I looked all over, searched high and low, and I could not find one single piece of paper that I'd ever written this on. So I guess about a month ago, I called his house, and of course he wasn't there. He was up here mowing the yard, and I talked to Sister Gail, and she told me, I asked her, I said, well, is Brother Ernie still planning on me giving this talk at the Bible school on Friday night? And she said, why, yes, sir, he sure is. So I better get to work, because I haven't found this talk yet. So I hope it turns out as good as what he was expecting it to be. So putting our house in order. This subject is kind of touchy, kind of tough. Some people might ask, what do we mean by putting our house in order? I'm going to try to do my best to keep everybody awake and interested in the subject. Like I said, this is not an easy subject to talk about. You know, people sometimes think that you're pointing fingers at them. But my mother always told me a good thing. She said, don't ever point your finger at someone because you always got two pointing back at you. We will try to be quick and brief. This topic has to be handled with the utmost care and respect, as I have given to it in the preparation for this exhortation. As we are all looking for that day when our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, returns and us as baptized brethren go to meet Him at judgment, we need to be prepared and ready to go in a moment's notice. So when I ask, what does it mean to put our house in order? What am I talking about? When we all leave our homes and head up to Bible school for this week, a fellowship with brethren of like precious faith, what do we do in preparation with our houses before we leave? Do we mow the yard? Do we wash our dishes? Do we do the laundry? Do we pack our bags? Do we clean up as much as possible so that when we return home, all we have left to do before returning to work is to wash our clothes? Do we leave our houses looking like this? What about this? Or maybe this? You know, I know these are pictures of the inside of houses, but this can be the inside of us too, spiritually. When we don't clean and we don't have it kind of like this. No, and this is not a picture of my house. Bella has three kids she had to take care of. Trust me, we cannot keep it this clean. Or like this in the yard. I do a pretty good job, but not that good. So, this is the way we want to leave our house when we head up here. What about when we are having a get-together of some sort? For me, in my family, this would be when one of our boys' birthday parties. Mine and Della's family and some of our friends would come over and we would have a get-together. But we probably prepare a lot different than most everybody else do, because when my family comes, my grandmother, I love her to death, but she's like an ocean inspector. She comes in and she looks for cobwebs, dust, toys out of place, dishes over here, clothes over here. You know, just need to tidy up a little bit. She don't just look at the inside of the house. She looks at your flower bed. She looks at your driveway. She looks under your carport. Looks at your fence. She makes sure you don't have all the kids' toys out in the yard. She's a very clean lady. So we have to work extra, extra, extra to get prepared for her to come. When she just comes to visit, walking down the driveway, we have a saying, if one of us see her out of the window, Scramble! And that's where we get all the toys in the living room and we put them in the closet and lock them up. True story. Now, it is tough in my house to keep it clean. Della has three boys she has to clean up after. And a lot of times when she gets home from work, it looks like a natural disaster has went through the living room. And I know I have a lot of part to play in that with not making the kids pick up a little bit. But it can be rough around our house. So now I ask, how do we get our spiritual house in order? Do we not clean it? What must we do to put our spiritual house in order and keep it in order with Yahweh? What do we have to do before and after baptism? What are we required to do? What are we supposed to be doing every day? We are to read and study Yahweh's word to gain knowledge and understanding of the truth and His commandments. We must learn and understand these for us to be clothed in the full armor of Yahweh. What does 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16 tell us? It says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We have to study to show ourselves approved unto who? Yahweh. Also, to not be ashamed of the truth. I'm not talking about the truth that some of our brethren are falling away with by doing and allowing whatever seems to fit them and by breaking bread with whomsoever they choose. No, that's not the truth that I am talking about. I'm talking about the pure and undefiled truth. We cannot put our house in order when we allow these things to take place within our house or the household of Yahweh. These things should be forbidden. They are not rightly dividing the word of truth. They allow these errors to come in and they overlook them out of love or family or simply because they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. I know Yahweh is full of love, grace, and mercy, but He is also a jealous God. If we look at Deuteronomy 4:23 and 24. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of Yahweh your God, which He made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which Yahweh thy God hath forbidden thee. For Yahweh thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. We have to be careful with what we do and what we allow. Because yes, Yahweh is full of grace and mercy, but is also a consuming fire to those who don't abide in His truth. See, this truth that I'm talking about is found in Jeremiah 6:16. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith Yahweh, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We don't want to be like the last part. We want to walk therein. Let's look at Psalms 119, verses 1 through 12. Psalms 119, verses 1 through 12. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of Yahweh. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Do we seek the old paths and walk in the ways directed towards keeping his statutes? We know that Yahweh is strict and very serious. What makes us think that he would not be strict on us? What makes us think he would not be strict on us? Especially when we start talking about having our house in order. We are required to be ready and prepared for the bridegroom's return. Let's look at the strictness and severity of Yahweh. Let's look at Genesis 6. Starting at verse 12 through 22. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. Wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So God commanded Noah to build an ark, even though it had never rained on the earth before, and people thought he was crazy. You know, and he didn't build this ark at night. He worked on it during the daytime. He worked on it all the time. He wasn't worried about people seeing him working in the Lord's vineyard. And you know, when we listen and obey Yahweh, something beautiful might come out of it like this. Well, let me get to it. Right there. Look at that. That's pretty. Noah and all the animals and the ark. We have to obey. Now, if we look at 1 Chronicles, verse 15:15. I have it right here on the slide. I got the next two verses on the next two slides. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of Yahweh. And when they came to Nathan's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. See, they were commanded not to touch it, not to even look upon it. This is the way the ark was supposed to be carried. But King David wanted them to build a cart and put it on to transport it. Thought it would be easier. Man had corrupted and enlisted himself into a position to where he could dictate what he wanted to do with Yahweh's word instead of following God's commands. We have to follow From these pictures and these scriptures, we can see just how strict Yahweh is and how careful we must be in the handling of His truth. Yahweh has given us a prescribed way in how we are to live a life that is keeping with His will. We must remember the commitment that we have made with Yahweh. We have covenanted with Him that we would keep all His laws and statutes. We promised Him that we would be Christ-like in all that we do. If we are not strict on what we do, and also on what we allow in our household, are we being Christ-like? Let's look at the children of Israel in Exodus 19, 1 through 8. Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. And in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount, and Moses went up unto God, and Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, Tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that Yahweh hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto Yahweh. Yahweh had given the children of Israel an ultimatum. They could obey Him and seek after Him, because He had brought them out of bondage, or they could return unto bondage or sin, give themselves back over to sin. Do we have a choice? Yes, we do have a choice. We can serve ourselves, sin, or we can serve Him. In Joshua 24, verse 15, it says, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need strong faith and a burning desire in these last days to help us withstand the wickedness in the world and also false doctrine in the brotherhood. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 5, 4 through 13. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorifying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators. yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or the idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such and one, no, not to eat. For what I have to do to judge them also that are without, do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. The world is full of sin. It's all around us. We have to be careful with partaking of it. Any partaking of it. Do we think that when we made our covenant with Yahweh, that this life became easier for us? No. Do we not deal with our own temptations? What does James tell us about the trying of our faith in James 1 verses 2 and 4? 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The trial of our faith, it helps to make us stronger. The more we are tried, the stronger we shall be in the truth and rooted in the Scripture. Because when we are tried, we have to search out and find comfort in the Word. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. More richer than gold. You know, the dollar value in the United States has lost so much that now gold is the prized thing, and it's our faith being tried is more richer than gold. You know, that means a lot right there. The more that we're tried, you know, the better perfected our faith should be. We deal with patience and temperance and long suffering. All those work together to help us to become more Christ-like. We have to keep those in order. We see what man has come up with to keep us occupied. We have so many different social media sites, and how the evolution of technology has taken a higher standard with some of us than that of Yahweh. You know, now when we do something, it's just an instant, and you can send a picture all the way across the country, or even pick up the phone and dial somebody, and it has their picture on it. You know, that FaceTime, just an instant. There is so much stress on us now as brethren to keep ourselves clean and the truth pure and undefiled. We cannot as a community stress the very, very importance of the effort that we need in these perilous times to read and study Yahweh's Word. Back to the basics. What we had to do before we were baptized. We had to read and study and gain knowledge and understanding. We need to remember this Bible verse and keep it. This verse will help us out, especially when we are wasting time instead of reading or studying Yahweh's Word. Hebrews 11:6, I'm sure a lot of y'all can quote this. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. To diligently seek Him. How do we do that? By studying, reading, preparing exhortations, preparing to do classes, preparing lessons to teach young ones down the hill. Let's look at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter here. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." James 4 tells us plain and simple. If we choose our own lust, or we choose the world over Yahweh, we are forgetting our covenant that we have made with Him. We cannot give into the world or sin. We already see so many brethren who are giving themselves over. But, brothers and sisters, we cannot. We have to stand up and fight for the truth. It is our duty to hold fast to it and keep our faith. Our faith and our desire should burn with such a fervent heat, especially right now as we are nearing the end, that we take hold of the truth and cling to it. We have to fully submit ourselves unto Yahweh. Now is the time, brethren and young people. Let's look at this picture when we talk about submitting. Let me get it up here. Right here. Look at that. Do you remember that? That's Jesus washing the disciples' feet. That's fully given over to submission. Do we do this? Do we fully give over and submit ourselves to Yahweh? So we have to. We have to submit. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 14 through 18. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Our duty in putting our house in order, or our spiritual house in order, is to help those who have fallen away. Those who are in error. Sometimes it could be us. We have to be careful and patient in the handling of these matters of the truth. We also cannot render evil for evil. We are to be glad and thankful that we have and know the truth. We are to be humble and meek. We have to watch our tongue. As we know, it is but a small member of the body, but what mighty fires it can start. As brethren, we should just walk away and wash our hands with the matter if we cannot get it fixed. If brethren can't see their error, or if we can't see our error, and we have tried to help resolve but no solution can be drawn from it, we need to just move on and pray for that brethren. How do we handle brethren in our household who have become unruly and cannot see or recognize their error? Let's look at Romans 7, chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. What did it say? It said, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Which ye have learned. What did they do with someone who had leprosy or who had issues in the camp? Let's look at Numbers chapter 5. What did they do? Verses 1 through 6. Numbers 5, 1 through 6. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead. Both male and female shall put out without the camp, shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp, as Yahweh spake unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against Yahweh, and that person be guilty, then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he hath trespassed. I think I might have read a little too far. I did. They sent them outside the camp. What would this represent for us? Would this represent to us as us being outside of the household of Yahweh? Yes. If we or someone was put outside the camp, it would represent us as being removed or alienated from the household of Yahweh. This is not a position that we want to have, is it? we would be a servant of Belial or sin. What we need to do in a situation like this, if we are the erring brother, what should we do? We would need to seek forgiveness and repentance for our actions and sins. Not just forgiveness and from Yahweh, but also from those that we have offended. This is a cancerous situation. And the best way to deal with cancer is by complete removal. Not just a portion. Because it is necessary for us to remove it all, because if we don't, it will eventually come back. And when cancer comes back the second time, it grows faster, more rapidly, more widespread, and it is definitely harder to get rid of. We have to remove the cancer before it causes too much damage to the rest of the body. This is why we have to wash our hands and remove ourselves from error or erring brethren. I know this sounds harsh, but in order for us to get our house or have our house in order, in good standing with Yahweh, we are only as strong as our weakest link. And we must help. That's why we come here. We must help each other build up our strength to be able to withstand in these last days. Iron sharpeneth iron. You know, when you got a chain hooked up to something, if there's a weak link and you pull hard enough, it'll find it. And when that chain breaks, it's not real easy to put a chain back together. So with us, we're only as strong as our weakest link. So we have to build it up. Make it stronger. That's why we're here. We're not here to put each other down. We're here to lift up, motivate. We're supposed to enjoy the company. Look forward to the company. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 2 in chapter 6. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing but dotting about questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse, disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through the many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times He shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We cannot and should not allow false teaching or error. We cannot allow just anyone at the memorial table. The memorial service is the most solemn occasion and is a direct representation of Christ and what he suffered through to take down the wall that divided man and Yahweh. And we must keep it pure and undefiled. We must be of the same understanding and principle as outlined in our statements of faith. We cannot change. We are Birmingham Unamended Statement of Faith. And when you start to allow different things or make a way for different things, you amend it. You might not be going by the amended statement of faith, but you are amending. You are making a way to suit you or to suit others, to keep people happy. We cannot do this because we have to be of one accord, one mind, and one body. We are all together. We all together are the body, and Christ is the head of the body. That is why we have to be like-minded and in accordance with our fellowship. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the ecclesia daily such as should be saved. Now let's look at Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love and any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's look at Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. Four through six. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we are to have our house in order, we are to be of one mind, one body, and one mouth, glorifying Yahweh. That is why we are all here at this Bible school. We are of one mind, and we want to glorify Yahweh. To get or keep our house in order with Yahweh, we must listen to His instructions and gain an understanding of His instructions. We can learn what to do, but to actually be able to understand how to put it into our lives is something different. It's different. It comes with time, patience. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, where He has given us instructions. We know that David here, he is called a man after Yahweh's own heart. So, who better to look to for instruction when we talk about trying to abide in the truth? Chapter 4. Hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the ways of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened, shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it. Pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Here he has given us doctrine, solid, sound doctrine, to keep. And if we keep it pure and undefiled and hold on to it, just as he instructed, let it be a light unto our path, it will save us. We must keep it with our whole heart. We have to keep it with our whole heart. You know, if we truly remember something and we put it on our heart, that's what will come out of our mouth. You know, when we tend to have bad thoughts, you know, or say ill things, or, you know, you don't have to just be real ill, but say something bad, you know, I mean, that's, you know, we need to be clean on the inside. We have to get ourselves right with Yahweh. What is our instructions as members of the household of Yahweh? To praise and honor Him. To bring glory to His name. And there are several things that could go under bringing glory to His name. How do we do this? We all have different talents. Some of us can cook, clean, teach, exhort, sing, play the piano, watch the little fellas, help set up a Bible school or a gathering. If y'all haven't noticed, my talent is talking. Let's look at Matthew 25. We want to start at verse 14 and go through 30. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more talents. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there, though thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strowed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and put then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So here we read of the master and the 3 servants. He gives of them talents, and it's up to them to choose what to do with them. We have talents. How do we choose to use ours? Do we choose to use them to our own gain, or do we choose to use them for the gain of Yahweh in His vineyard? 2 of the servants went, and they gained more talents. Like I said, for us, this could be recognized as us. You know, I can't play the piano. Maybe I could learn how to play the piano and help out. Do something different. You know, maybe I could help clean or set up a Bible school. You know, we all have talents. We have to try to use them for the benefit of Yahweh. You know, if our talent is talking or teaching, maybe we could meet somebody and show them what the truth is. Present the truth to them. Because we never know when we present the truth to someone, when something we say might stick with them and interest them. We have to be Christ-like at all times in whatever we do. Have you ever had someone come up to you and ask, why are you so happy? Or what makes you act the way you do? When people ask or take notice of your appearance and they want to question it, it is probably because they are interested in finding out what it is that you have that makes you such a joy or pleasant to be around. Most people won't ask you what you have or what it is that makes you happy if you're not happy. You know, if you're always having a frown or a snarl or short-tempered or a quick comeback, people aren't worried about what you have. But if you're joy and pleasant and easy to get along with and slow to wrath and meek and humble, might be a chance to show somebody the truth and let your light shine. Now, what did the 3rd servant do with his talent that his master gave him? He hid it. Do we do this? Do we hide the truth? Are we scared of what people might think or say about us? Are we so worried about people's feelings toward us that we wouldn't tell them what we believe and why we believe it? Are we ashamed of the truth? No. We're not supposed to be. We are to let our light shine. If we treat Yahweh or His Word, the truth, this way without care, love, and compassion, how do we think He will treat us? Remember, He is a jealous God, and He wants us, His people, to choose to serve Him. We want to be as the two servants who their master told them. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." I know we don't want to end up like the third servant. None of us want to be cast out. That's why we're here. We all want to be found worthy to inherit a place in the kingdom, to be with our forefathers, the patriarchs. We want to bring glory and honor unto Yahweh. We must and cannot hide our light. It should burn fervently, fervently, a lot of heat, and be bright. We must study Yahweh's Word as much as possible. It is mandatory that we are profitable in Yahweh's vineyard. Now, if we look at the beginning of Matthew chapter 25, let's read verses 1 through 13. Going back to Matthew. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamp. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily, verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" These verses here, talking about the 10 virgins and being prepared to meet the bridegroom, Christ. And what happens? 5 of them are prepared, ready to go. They had their lamps trimmed and filled with oil. They were just waiting on the call. What about the other 5? They were not prepared. They were slothful and uncaring. They had to go to town to fetch some oil for their lamps. And while they were gone, the bridegroom, Christ, came and left them. The ones who were prepared went in with him to the marriage supper, and he closed the door. I'm sure it was probably similar in this parable. It would have been similar to when he closed the door on the ark. He shut it himself and locked it, for no other man could get in. Sin could not get in no more. The other 5 returned after they got their lamps prepared, but it was too late. We do not know the time nor the season when he will come, but we do know that he is coming. So we must be prepared and have our house in order. We cannot, or must not, or will not, should not be slumbering spiritually and sitting by and allowing time to pass and not be ready. We have to make our calling and election sure. We need to make sure that we are deeply rooted in Yahweh's Word of truth and be prepared for His calling. We need to have our lamps trimmed and filled with oil and not let our light go out. So I ask brothers and sisters, do we have our house in order? Is our light shining brightly? Are we prepared? Are we ready? We make our answer now. Thank you.